When peace, like a river, attendeth my way. When sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me.
Thankful for the song service and the blessed hymns that were chosen this morning, and the time kind of snuck up on me, so excuse me for the little curveball there. But in Psalm chapter 40 verse 17, he says, "But I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my God. There's probably a strong portion of this world that would say that to admit that you're needy is a sign of weakness. And I'll say, well, amen. But the Apostle Paul said that when I am weak, then am I strong. And when we fall down upon that rock of the Lord Jesus Christ and not upon ourselves, recognize that there's nothing in us that's capable, but only in God is our sustaining ability. Only in God is our profit in any way. And only the Lord is able to pick up somebody that's poor and needy. But you notice that he says about us being poor and needy, the consolation is, yet the Lord thinketh on me. What a great blessing that the God of heaven that created this universe and made the stars also, what a great blessing that he thinks on us. Brother Howard has not been here in quite a while. He's had a full schedule, full calendar. So we're going to ask him to take the preaching time this morning. And please pray that God will bless him to preach in power and demonstration of the Holy Ghost in a way that feeds the lambs and sheep of God. Brother Kevin, if your coughing is subdued, would you mind going to the Lord in prayer for us?
Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this day that you've given us. We're so thankful that we're able to gather here together, Lord. We just pray that you be with us today as we go into service. Please be with this brother that's coming before us. Give him your words and us a heart of understanding, Lord. We have a lot that are not here, Lord, suffering just various ailments and sicknesses. Lord, we ask that you please wrap your loving arms around them. Please be with those that have lost loved ones recently. We just ask that you please be with our country, Lord, and please continue to bless us and guide our leaders, Lord. Please be with us as we go through this week. Just keep a hedge of protection over us, Lord, and please forgive us for many sins. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. One thing I forgot, excuse me, we've got, apparently we haven't gone to the doctor, but we have flu at the house, so y'all know the hugger that I am, but I'm keeping my distance today. I feel fine, but for consideration of you, I'm keeping some distance. Please be praying for my family, if you would. It's all four kids, but not Sister Donna. And Brother Tanner's had a lot of pain since his back surgery, so please pray for him. Thank you, Brother Howard. Excuse me.
Turn my head away. I hope we've come praying to the Lord's house. I certainly hope the Lord helps us and leads us. I had very similar thoughts that Brother Gary had when he was introducing and came from the song that we sang, "All Our Help Must Come From Thee."
Amen.
All our help must come from thee. I think that's exactly what Brother Gary was saying with his scripture that he read, that we are poor and needy. Matter of fact, Jesus, there are a couple expressions that come to mind about that. One is that he prayed to God, says, "I thank thee, Father, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, but revealed them unto babes." He says in another place that except each one of you, talking about us, humble ourselves and become as little children, we will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now, we can be in the church building, right? We can be around church folks, but that's not the same thing as entering into the kingdom of heaven. That's not the same thing as inheriting the kingdom of heaven. There are spiritual blessings that come from our inheritance and us possessing, taking possession of our inheritance in the kingdom of God. And unless we become little children, in other words, understanding and realizing that we are poor and needy, realizing and understanding that all our help comes from Him, we're not going to possess that inheritance of the kingdom of God. And I certainly stand in need of your prayers. I feel I do feel a burden this morning, and we understand that the Jesus said, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." But there, we do want that burden, right? We want to be burdened with the work that Jesus Christ would give us, right? We preach salvation by grace, but the salvation by grace is that our eternal salvation is not merited by our works and our efforts. But my friends, there's a blessing in working with Jesus, taking his yoke upon us, learning of him. For that yoke, there's rest in that work, right? There's rest because we're rowing the right way, we're plowing the right way. We're plowing where we need to be plowing. And the Lord blesses that work. I do feel a burden. There's really only one way I think I can go this morning. Even after making those opening remarks, I ask you to please continue to be praying that the Lord would be with us and lead us. I thought about earlier last week the expression, confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that ye may be healed. And I feel like I had to use that. But after I thought of that, I thought about it, and I tried to dwell in those thoughts and that meditation about confessing our faults one to another. That's part of being poor and needy. That's part of being a little child, humbling ourselves, right? It's not easy by our nature to confess our faults one to another. Now, it is quite easy to make confessions, to confess faults. I can come up with stuff and say, well, I need to do better at this, I need to do better at that. We always need to do better. But it's not always easy to confess faults one another. And as I thought about it, one of the things I thought about that makes it difficult for us to confess our faults one to another is that we always tend to justify ourselves. We always try to give extenuating circumstances, right? It was extenuated. I know that didn't come out right, but these were the circumstances. This is what I had to do with, and right. And at the end of the day, I was justified in what I had to do. That's fine in its place when we need to do that. I think it's important that that people understand what our intentions are. I think it's important that we be clear what we're thinking, and I hope that you don't want to leave other people with a bad impression of you when your heart really was in the right place. So I get there's a place and a time for that. But there's also a place and a time when we do need to confess our faults one to another, that we don't need to add extenuating circumstances. We need to kind of just lay it out there and own that it was wrong. And I thought about, as I was thinking about that temptation or that always desire to try to explain to people that I had good intentions, I thought about the Apostle Paul. It says, when I would do good, evil is present with me. Obviously, if we have evil intentions, there's going to be evil present with us. Obviously, when we have evil intentions, we need to repent of those evil intentions, and we need to turn around, change our intentions to good intentions, okay? But the Apostle Paul is saying something else. He's like, even when I would do good, even when I'm doing something with pure intentions, when I would do good, evil is present with me, okay? So when I thought about that, it made me realize that, well, that kind of gives us liberty, I guess, to kind of just leave our faults out there and say this was evil. It doesn't mean that I had evil intentions, and I hope that we understand that about each other. But what we need to confess, what we need to apologize to our brothers and sisters for when that is appropriate, is the evil that's present with us, right? Yes, it's good that we have good intentions, but we're also responsible for the evil that is present with us, even in our good intentions. And there is a, I don't know if we specifically call it out in our rules of decorum or our order of doing things, but typically in a lot of churches, there's a time for acknowledgments, right? Especially before we vote for the peace of the church, there's a time for acknowledgments. And where it was a time where it was very common and a normal practice for people to make acknowledgments before the church, or confessing their faults to the church, things that are public. Yeah, not everything needs to come out before the church, but things that potentially could be public. That was a time for acknowledgement. And of course, we don't want to abuse that, but it's something we don't want to forget about either. And I just felt like it, not being here very often, not being here on the first Sunday of the month, and our communion coming up in May, I want to confess the evil that was present with me last June when we discussed whether to buy a certain property or not. And I trust you all know I had good intentions, so I don't want to have to go over that again. But there was evil present with it, even though I would do good, even though I had good intentions. It was brought to my attention that what I said and the way I said it made Brother Gary feel small. And that was evil, and I apologize for that. And I apologize to him privately, but I feel like my private apology had a lot of extenuating circumstances and a lot of justification, and this is why, this is what I was trying to say, this is what I meant, a lot of those things. And I also realized that what I did was really in front of all of us, so the only way to confess that would be in front of all of us. That might be the only way to be healed of that certain problem that I've brought on to the church, is to confess that there was evil, you know, in the way that I took an argumentative spirit and a lot of things. And I didn't mean to make anyone feel small, and I did not mean to make anyone feel guilty for feeling an urgency to find a different building, okay? And I'm sorry if I did make anyone feel guilty for seeing an urgency and having a desire to move quickly on a building. It's not my intention to make anybody feel guilty. And if the way I behaved then has prevented anyone from wanting to discuss anything else or to move that question forward, that was wrong. And that's not what I meant to have happen. That day was really about one particular property, one particular decision, and really not just about a particular property, but probably more about starting a whole new building project from scratch at this time. Or at that time, anyway. So if that has quenched anyone's spirit, if it made you feel like you couldn't bring up something else because you felt like we're going to have another knockdown, drag-out argument, that was wrong. And it shouldn't be that way. Right? My intention, again, I'm not trying to excuse myself, but we ought to be able to have discussions in front of everybody, right? I know we'd like to have everything sorted out and be all on the same page talking individually, at our homes and everything, but that's not really the way human nature works all the time. Sometimes what people say needs to be said in front of everybody at a given time so that everybody can hear and everybody can make their own judgments over what is said, and we all know that we're on the same page in that way. So, and I don't think discussions like that need to necessarily end in any kind of acrimony or argumentative spirit. So anyway, we'll leave that as what it is and try to go to the 33rd chapter of Exodus. Exodus chapter 33, the context here is after the children of Israel had made a golden calf out of their gold and started worshiping or celebrating this golden calf. And Moses has interceded for them. He has pleaded for God's people. And he's talking with God here when the 33rd chapter opened up at the last verse of the 32nd chapter said, "The Lord plagued the people because they made the calf which Aaron made. And the Lord said unto Moses, Depart and go up hence, thou and the people which thou hast brought up out of the land of Egypt, unto the land which I swear unto Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, saying, Unto thy seed will I give it. And I will send an angel before thee, and I will drive out the Canaanite, the Amorite, the Hittite, and the Perizzite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite, unto a land flowing with milk and honey. For I will not go up in the midst of thee, for thou art a stiff-necked people, lest I consume thee in the way." Now he said that he wasn't going to go up in the midst of them, lest he consumes them in the way. Then they go on. I'm going to skip down a little bit as they set aside their ornaments and are seeking repentance. And then Moses goes out to the tabernacle. And all the people were watching as Moses went to the tabernacle outside the camp. And all the people, and I'll start reading in verse 10 of Exodus 33 again. "And all the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle door. And all the people rose up and worshiped, every man in his tent door. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again into the camp. But his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. And Moses said unto the Lord, See, thou sayest unto me, Bring up this people. And thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people." So here Moses is saying, you said that you know me by name and that I have found grace in your sight. And he's saying, please show us, who are you going to send with us? Who's going to go with us? If you're not going to come in the midst of this camp, show me, right? This is Moses who saw the angel of the Lord in the burning bush, where God spoke directly to him. And Moses asked him, what's your name? Who should I tell them sent me when I go back to the people? He says, I am, has sent you. Right? That's his name. He declared unto him his name, Jehovah, which means I am. The I am has sent you. So he heard a name. He heard a name. But now he's saying, show me. Show me now thy way that I may know thee. We're not going to get away from Exodus 33, but I do want to go to John chapter 14. Because immediately when I saw that question, show me thy way, I thought about Jesus. And we ought to be looking for Jesus when we read the stories of Moses and all the Old Testament. Amen. We look for Jesus. Amen. And when Moses is saying, who is going to go up with us? Show me thy way. He said, how are we going to keep going? Who are you going to send with us? What's the way that we should go? And in John chapter 14, he says, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. Here Jesus, as the Son of God, is making a distinction between himself and the Father. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way you know. And Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So Jesus here has revealed himself as the way. And I think that is an answer to the question that Moses was asking, to show him his way. We have a way to go about in this day and age in the church kingdom. Right? Jesus Christ is the way. He leads us himself. And he actually said, I will send you. If I go away, I will send you. I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter. This is verse 16. That he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. So Jesus has sent his comforter to us, to be with us in the way that where we are, that we can be where he is.
Amen.
And that's what we want in this church. We want to be where the Lord is.
Amen.
When we come together, we want to be where the Lord is. We love seeing one another. We need to see one another. But most importantly, we need to be where the Lord is. We need his Spirit of truth. We need the gifts of the Holy Spirit. All our help comes from him, God, his Holy Spirit. And that's the way that we have. And God, and going back to Exodus 33 in verse 14, right after he said, well, in verse 13, he says, show me now thy way that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. We need grace to be able to see that the people that we're with are God's people. Right, that's something that we can consider and understand. And Moses was asking for that reassurance, right? He had already been told. He had already been shown. But here he's asking about this presence, this way that he will send. Who are you going to send up with us? You said you're going to send an angel, and he's going to drive out the Canaanites and the Hivites and all the land of, and all the inhabitants of this land that you have given us. Show us him. And he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. That reminds me of Jesus Christ. What he said was, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And this promised presence that went before the children of Israel and won their victories and won their battles for them, is He that came and He established His church. He died for our sins. And He preaches to us, and we find it in Matthew chapter 11, and He says, "Come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Now Jesus Christ, first, He's given us rest from all the burden of sin, from the laboring and heavy laden of trying to put our sin away, of trying to find an atonement and a covering for sin. He has given us rest from that because He has taken our sin and nailed it to the cross. And He has buried it in the ground, and He has removed it from us as far as the east is from the west, so we don't have that labor and that burden anymore. It's been taken away from us. And now, if we are burdened down with that load, we need to come unto Jesus to find rest from that labor. And of course, He says to take His yoke upon us. And we have a work to do. And that means we need to be side by side with Jesus Christ. And He says, "If you love Me, keep My commandments." And that's how we stay close to Jesus Christ. We're keeping His commandments. And we're doing the work that He tells us to do. If we don't see ourselves as working side by side with Jesus Christ in His yoke, we would look at the task that would be before us, and we would say, "I can't do it. I'm not strong enough. I'm not righteous enough. I'm not consistent enough. I'm not kind enough," whatever it is. "I'm not patient enough." But Jesus Christ gives us the strength. His burden is light, and His yoke is easy. And this rest is what was promised to them in the land of Canaan. Not in the wilderness, but in the land of Canaan. "As I will give you rest." That rest was in the form of having their own land, right? Being protected from their enemies. Having the worship of God there, having His oracles, having His tabernacle, having those things that He had shown them and the law that He had given them. And there was rest in that land. But that was from God. He gave that to them. And Moses, in verse 15, "And He said unto him, If thy presence go not with Me, carry us not up hence. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth." They were given laws of separation. They were called to be different from the world. Okay? Now, that's a heavy burden, right? If it's without Christ. If we're just thinking, "Okay, I'm going to go out into the world and I'm going to be different," that'd be very tough. That's very hard. Okay? Moses is saying, if you're not going to go with us, don't bring us in there, right? That's too hard. We can't do that. We can't fight. And he didn't say this here, but this is what came out later on in their journey. We can't fight the Canaanite and all these other nations on our own strength. If you're not going to go up with us, then don't deliver us up there. And that's what he's asking. And so what's the point then of them being separated? That's the question. Right? If they were required to be separated from all the people in the earth, God specifically told them, don't mix in with them, don't marry within them, and don't do after them, because they're going to get you to worship their gods. right? There's a reason that they needed to be separate so that they can follow God's word and only God's word, and they can worship the true and living God and only the true and living God. And Moses is saying, well, what's the whole point of us being different if you're not with us? Okay? How will it be known? Right? How are we going to know that we have grace in this separation, in being different, if the Lord is not with us? And so I want to ask that question, right? If the primitive Baptists are different, if we as this church see a difference between us and all the other peoples in this world, what's the point if the Lord is not with us? Right? That's how we know we have found grace, is if the presence of the Holy Spirit is not going with us and winning our battles for us. That's what, that is how it is known, right? How will it be? That's the question that Moses is asking. He says, for wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separate, I and thy people. If the Lord is with us now, it's worth it to be separate. Now we can become a separate people because we have the promise of the Lord being with us. We have the promise of the Lord giving us the rest. As he says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. There's not rest out in all the other peoples in the world. There's rest where God's presence is. There's rest where God's people are, walking with Jesus Christ, walking in his commands, taking his yoke upon them, and learning of him. That also doesn't mean you have to know all about me to take this yoke upon you.
Right.
He says, you know, I want you to commit. I want you to come unto me and realize that it's the Lord that we're coming to. And then what do you get? You get a labor and you get to learn of him. It's a learning process. You're never at that destination where you've learned all you need to learn about Jesus Christ. Learning about him is part of the blessing of walking with him.
Amen.
It's part of the delight of meditating upon his scriptures. It's part of the delight of sitting under the sound of his gospel being preached. It's because you learn a little bit more.
Amen.
And I never want to stop that process of learning of him. Now, if that means I have to humble myself and admit I don't have all the answers, I don't know everything, that doesn't bother me in the slightest bit because of all the promises that Jesus Christ has given us. It says, I've revealed things unto babes. And unless you become as a little child, you will not enter into this kingdom of God. And so we come to Jesus when he says, come unto me. When we go to him, we go as little children. And we go and say, we'll take your yoke upon you. We'll take this labor upon us, even if it separates us from all the people that are around us, even if it separates us from our parents and our siblings or our best friends or whoever it is. I will do it because I want to learn of thee. I want your rest. Right? I am laboring and I am heavy laden in this world. I want your rest. I'm going to come unto him. He's the one that gives us the rest. And that's how we know that we are with the Lord's people, and that the Lord's people have found grace in his sight. It's in the Lord goes with us. And then there's a beautiful expression. There's a beautiful account here of Moses asking to see the glory of God, and the Lord giving him mercy and grace and showing him his hinder parts and protecting him from the full power of his glory. But declaring his glory before him, saying, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy and compassion on whom I will have compassion. There Moses got to see, got to hear the glory of the Lord. I want to go to one other place, and we'll close scripture reading with that, Exodus chapter 40. At the end of verse 33 of Exodus 40, so Moses finished the work. Then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter into the tent of the congregation because the cloud abode thereon, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And when the cloud was taken up from over the tabernacle, the children of Israel went onward in all their journeys. But if the cloud were not taken up, then they journeyed not until the day that it was taken up. For the cloud of the Lord was upon the tabernacle by day, and fire was on it by night, in the sight of all the house of Israel throughout all their journeys. Now, my burden this morning is for us to find ourselves in Christ, right? In Jesus Christ. He is, all right? So when we think about who we are as a church, what identifies us? Wherein shall it be known that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not that the Lord goeth with us? What makes us the church? What gives us the peace? What gives us the joy of rejoicing in the truth is that the Holy Spirit is with us. Right? And that's what we need to value over everything else. All right? That He's here, that He's leading us, and that He is with us, and we will follow Him wherever He goes. Okay? So when we think about our identity, we can talk about the building that we're in. We can talk about the name that's on the sign out there. Those things matter. Those things are important. Those things are our history, our heritage. But that's not everlasting what defines us as the church, okay? If we lose all those things, we don't lose the church, okay? We have the Holy Spirit. That's what we do not want to lose. That's what we cannot afford to lose. But we need to follow Him where He goes. I want you to pray and consider the invitation that we have from Bethel Church. And I think it is something that's worth thinking about. It's something that I've been burdened with for quite a while. I feel like that may be the door that the Lord has opened up for us. And we don't need to, and I know that there are many different things that could get us derailed and sidetracked and arguing, okay? But let's not let the minor things become the major things, okay? Let's make sure that the major things is the Lord and His Holy Spirit. We don't want to make sure that we are just trying to get everything that our heart desires so that we miss the opportunity when the Lord's presence takes us where He wants to take us. That we have the humility to just wait on Him, trust Him, but when His Spirit moves, for us to move, right? And I think it's perfectly fine, you know, if you personally don't feel a need to move. I would also say that there are others that feel a very strong need to move. And I don't think it's wrong to feel a need to move. Like, this building is not the end-all be-all of what us being a church is. And I think we need to consider that. Is the Lord in the matter? I think about when Bethel Church was constituted. There were three distinct and separate groups of Primitive Baptists that had different stances on certain things. There was probably also a greater number of Primitive Baptists in that day. And they didn't really get along. They did not really fellowship. There were Fuller Chapel was a member of a group that we call Peace Baptists. We had New Hope that was a member of what they called the Casey Baptists. And we had Bethel was constituted as a group called the Trumpet Baptists. Okay? Those were three different groups in this area at that time. They did not fellowship. They did not get along. But those distinctions don't mean anything to us now. And if you don't understand what each one is, that's okay. Leave it in the past, all right? We don't need to go back over them, right? Those were things that were keeping the Lord's people separate back then that don't exist today. But those same reasons don't exist to give us a reason not to be united with them for any of those reasons at all. And I think, and especially I think, Brother Frank had another health episode recently. And he was not able to be with them a couple weeks ago. And there may be a reason that we both need to come together. Not saying what it is or not saying what we need to do. I'm just saying I want you to bring it up in your mind. I want you to pray about it. I want you to talk about it. And here's, I think, the litmus test. I will tell you my own personal experience. I have thoroughly enjoyed when I got to go and meet with them. I thought the preaching was extremely blessed. I felt the Lord's presence there when we all met together. And I think that's the number one litmus test we should use if we're wondering, is the Lord in this matter? Is He leading us? Is His Spirit there? Is His Spirit at present? We don't have to think about that neighborhood or that building or what we're going to do 10 years from now or whatever it is. Just, is the Lord's Spirit there? Is the Lord opening up a door for us to go? And that we need to be prayerful about that and open to considering it. And most of all, we need to put our identity in Jesus Christ. We need to say, hey, are they following the same Lord that we are? Are they preaching the same Christ and Him crucified that we are? If they're following the same truth and same doctrine, that's the identity of the church. That's what matters. And that's what I've been burdened to say, Brother Gary. Come ahead.
I trust we're thankful for the preaching that Brother Howard did. I love the point about Moses. And his request of God that, this is the way that we're going to know if we can be separate and different from everybody is if God's with us. That's a great point. I love that one. I'm going to take that one with me for sure. I feel like I'd be hard-hearted to not talk about the things he said about me, but I really don't want to. faithful and loving comments that he made about me, they were not necessary. It's never about me, and this is the Lord's kingdom. But I appreciate Brother Howard's love and faithful attitude in the things that he said. Forgive me if there's more that I should say about that, but I'll just say it's not necessary. But thank the Lord for His love and His fellowship. I guess I'm just at a loss of words. Forgive me for that, please. We love you all. Thank the Lord for you. Thank God for seeing us through difficulties in life. When Brother Mark Rowell was ordained into the ministry, Elder Jerry Cleburne, I guess you'd call him a very much a country boy. But he was a country boy that lived on the bayou. During the rainy seasons, you had to take a boat to get to his house. drive up to a certain point, get in the boat, go to his house, and he lived a bit like a hermit. Brother Jerry either preached or helped preach Brother Mark Rowell's funeral. And you know, Brother Mark said, Brother Jerry told Brother Mark, he said, "Brother Mark, don't despise the valleys, because in the valleys is where the tall corn grows." And had a subject on my mind, you know, that I've tried to study a little bit, meditate on lately, that maybe we'll try to preach on pretty soon, about the early and latter rains. But that's dealing with the growth of corn. And the Lord sees us through difficulties and things when we don't know what to do, which way is up. God is always there. And he said, "I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee." And as we tried to preach a handful of weeks ago, strengthen the things which remain. The Lord has given us an abundance in our life. Sometimes we feel it, sometimes we don't. But the Lord, as always, he's promised that he'll never leave us nor forsake us. And our job is to be faithful in the meantime. Faithfulness takes on different requirements in our discipleship with the Lord Jesus. But faithfulness always requires acting according to the Word of God. Always acting according to the Word of God. And we really can't be familiar with what the Word of God says unless we're reading it often and meditating upon it often. So may God give us grace to do that. Moses' experience with God. Moses had experiences with God unlike anybody that's ever lived, I would imagine. Being able to talk with him and ask him to see his glory, and the Lord say, "I'll put thee in the cleft of the rock and put my hand upon thee, and I'll pass by thee and I'll let thee see my hinder parts." that gets me stirred up thinking about being that close to God and what that must have felt like for Moses, and the awe-inspiring feeling that must have brought to Moses, and being in the mount. Being up there in Mount Sinai with God, and Moses said, "I exceedingly feared and quaked." And there's been times where I've gone to the house of God, gone to a certain meeting. I can think back to times when I've done this, when just getting closer to the building had me trembling and had me fearful of just something I couldn't identify with my words and that I couldn't put my finger on. But looking back, it was just an intimidation that God is there. God is there, and I'm unworthy to dwell in his presence. And that's a fearful thing for the flesh. But the Spirit longs for it and says, "Let me get closer. Oh, draw me nearer unto thee. I want to be ever so much closer to my Savior and my God." But my flesh fears that. We sing the song, "Why do we start and fear to die? What timorous worms we mortals are." We fear that process of dying because our flesh is afraid of that. And our flesh is afraid of the immediate presence of being with God. Oh, but our spirits long for it. That crown of righteousness is promised, wasn't just promised to Paul, but unto all them who love his appearing. You know, there's a born-again soul inside of you that loves the appearing of Jesus Christ. If your flesh introduces some fear at that perspective, your spirit still longs for it. It longs to draw near unto God. May we draw near unto God. And one of the ways that we do that is by being faithful to his word. I've had some wake-up calls lately that I need to be more faithful to God's Word and study. But I love the thought that Brother Howard brought to us about that's the way that Moses would know and the people of God would know that it's okay to be different, to know that God is with us. An assurance that I take from Scripture tells me the truth of salvation by grace, that it's only by grace and not by works of righteousness which we've done. And that assurance that I get from God's word encourages me that God is with me in that doctrine. and that I could be different from the world in that doctrine. Because it's not a very popular doctrine. It's not one that's going to fill up buildings left and right and cause crazy amounts of parking problems. It's not going to have that kind of effect unless the Lord can, right? The Lord can, but that's not what typically happens. Oh, but for us to be faithful, may God bless us to be faithful and that love would always fill the house. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, that you have love one to another. But what a great thought. There's probably maybe other things that you picked up from that you say, I'm grabbing that one and that's mine, but that's mine for today for sure. That's how we know that we can be different and go in the courage of being different, knowing that God is with us. That's all we need. Forgive me for repeating myself on an illustration. I'm probably worse about that than I realize. Y'all probably remember me telling you about walking with Lillian when she was about 2 or 3 in a big playground, wooden playground system that was at the park in Oxford. And I walked through wherever she wanted to go, holding her hand. And as she got the lay of the land, and we went across a crickety bridge, and I was holding on the rail, and I was secure, and she was stumbling and wobbling, but Daddy had her hand, and she was okay. So then I followed her the next time through that jungle gym, playground, whatever. And we got to that rickety spot, the rickety bridge dips down, and Lillian hadn't been looking at me. She hadn't been watching me. She's just doing her own thing. She got to that rickety bridge, and she stopped, remembering, oh, yeah, that was a little unsettling. And she started to go the other way, and her eyes didn't get up much more than about where mine are right now. She turned and looked that way, and she just saw my legs. And when she realized that Daddy was with her, she then had courage to go across a rickety bridge without even holding my hand. So knowing that her father was with her gave her the courage that she needed. I can do it. Our walk with the Lord Jesus Christ is like that. There's things in life that scare us, that make us worried. Our shortcomings and our faults and failures that make us say, I can't. But when we turn and get a glimpse of our Father with us, we then know that we can. We don't even have to see His face, just seeing His legs, just knowing that the presence of God is here and God is with us. I can now do this. Getting into the pulpit is a fearful thing and a scary thing, and we should never lose all of that. But the fact that God is, that I've walked up here scared to death, not knowing what was going to happen, and walk out feeling better, has given me courage in the past I've been there before. He's taken care of me before, so let's march on. Right. However God leads us, it's God's kingdom, it's God's leadership, and it's His leadership that we're supposed to follow. When Brother Howard told me that he was going to be here with us Sunday, I pretty much immediately felt like I should give the Lord, felt of the Lord to give Him the preaching time. And if I've compromised that by the amount of time I've stood with you, forgive me. But I had no idea what he was going to say. We didn't talk about that at all. But thank the Lord for His faithfulness and for His love. We'll be dismissed with a song. And if anybody would like to follow the Lord Jesus in baptism or any way the Lord can receive members, the church can receive members, we would encourage you to come forward and let your wants be made known to the church.